No Greater Love by Margaret Dickinson, read by Joan Walker. For Dennis and all our wonderful family. 1. Leicestershire, March 1901. Lady Elizabeth Ingham faced her fiancé of 2 months across the hearth in the library of her home, Ancombe Hall. She felt the tears well in her eyes and fought to stop them falling, but she couldn't prevent her voice trembling as she asked, "Why, Oliver? I don't understand." Oliver Goodwin, the only son of Sir William Goodwin, who was the head of one of the oldest and most respected families among the landed gentry of Leicestershire, stood twirling his hat between nervous fingers. "It's your brother's fault, Lizzie," Oliver blurted out. "I can't believe he has been so cavalier with his inheritance, so careless with his future, and yours too. He's ruined everything." "Bruce, what has Bruce got to do with you breaking our engagement?" Lizzie felt a quiver of fear. She knew her brother led a wild life. She had heard the whispers among their servants that he frequented the nightclubs and gambling dens of London and other cities on the continent, and that he mixed with the theatre-going fraternity. There were even rumours that he had got a promising young actress pregnant, but that had been successfully hushed up. Or so she had thought. "There's going to be a huge scandal, and I am to have no part of it. My father has instructed me to ask you to release me from our betrothal."
"Oliver, what are you talking about? What scandal?"
There was a long silence between them as they stared at each other. At last, Oliver shook his head and said softly, his tone pitying now, "You don't know, Lizzie, do you? You really don't know what's happened." A surge of anger had driven away her tears now as she said tartly,
"Obviously not. Perhaps you would be good enough to enlighten me."
"I don't think it's my place to tell you."
"It most certainly is. I want to know what you have heard that has made you travel 20 miles or so on horseback to tell me this. Please."
She gestured towards a chair, though there was irony in her tone. "Do sit down. I will ring for some refreshment." As she moved stiffly to pull the bell cord, Oliver said,
"No, please don't do that. I'm not staying. I must go. You must ask your father or your mother. They will understand. Please try to forgive me, Lizzie. This is not my wish."
He gave a little bow, turned, and left the room abruptly, leaving Lizzie staring at the closed door. Slowly she sank down into the chair beside the fire and closed her eyes. She thought back over the last year, trying to find some explanation as to why this was happening. At the start of the social season in the spring of 1900, she had been presented at court in a long line of debutantes. That exciting yet daunting day had been followed by months of balls, dinner parties and charity events, visits to the theatre and attendance at various sporting occasions, which attracted the nobility and landed gentry. It had been a whirlwind. She had made several friends among the other young women, but it had been the young men, the eligible bachelors, who had queued up to dance and flirt with Lady Elizabeth. Always chaperoned, she'd had no occasion for any indiscretion. But one young man, Oliver Goodwin, had made his intentions clear from the start. He was kind, charming, and attentive, and had sought her company at every opportunity. Lizzie had found herself drawn to him, and at the end of the season, he had proposed. Lizzie's father had given his blessing to the match, and they had become betrothed on Lizzie's 19th birthday in January 1901. Oliver was heir to his father's estates, and he and his future wife were set to become one of the country's foremost families. The engagement would last 18 months, and a date for the wedding had been planned for the summer of 1902. With startling violet eyes, smooth skin and sleek black hair, Lady Elizabeth had been hailed as the most beautiful debutante of the year among a bevy of pretty girls. It was a compliment to her lovely nature that she was not the object of jealousy or envy. Without exception, all her peers wished her well. The only competition among them now was to vie to be one of her bridesmaids.